All right. As we mentioned, our good friend Nora Duncan is back. She's the state director for AARP Connecticut. And while they would love to have you as a member, a lot of people don't realize how much AARP could benefit their very own community. In fact, their very own neighborhood, as we mentioned in the intro, 13 projects are going to share about $107,000 in resources from AARP Connecticut to create community and neighborhood improvement projects. Quick turnaround. A lot of these projects will be in place by the time the snow flies this winter, if in fact it does. Nora, thank you for joining us on the program here this first stable weather weekend in July as we come to you on this Sunday morning after after taping on the prior Thursday. So, Nora, how's your...
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it, John.
Yes, how's your summer going so far?
It's going okay, and I have outdoor plans, you know, so let's just keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, the trick
right?
is...
Everything is good, though.
If you don't bring a towel, it will not rain.
So, right, I'm going to bring a towel, trick. An umbrella, and a raincoat.
There you go. So, first of all, as we mentioned, you know, kind of 13's the lucky number for AARP and a bunch of Connecticut communities this year, thanks to the grant program that we often tout here on the For the People, these community challenge grants. So, first of all, remind us a little bit about this program, because it's juxtaposed by a national grant program as well, isn't it?
Yes. So the Community Challenge Grant is 10 years old this year, and it is the national grant program, but every state gets winners. So we have done our own granting in the past. We're going to pull back on that a little bit this year, although I do have a special extra grant that I'm going to fund out of Enfield at Loaves and Fishes that wasn't part of this initial grant process. But this is a huge, like you said, quick turnaround grant program that we have had 13 different organizations in Connecticut get granted this year, a total of $107,000. Out of $8.3 million that was committed nationwide. We really we doubled our efforts this year to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. So double the effort means double the winners. So I'm really excited that we get to, you know, celebrate this with 13 towns and organizations. And, you know, I mentioned it's a 10-year-old program. So over $430,000. Close to $435,000 in 45 grants since its inception in Connecticut. So when you say, you know, maybe you're not a member, of course, we always want members.
Sure.
But people are benefiting from this all over the place and may not recognize that if they see a new accessible path in a community, for instance, along a river or in a nature preserve, that might have been funded by AARP. Hmm. Now everybody can access it.
And this is a good point to kind of, hit pause and talk a little bit about how this in some very, very high level way works toward promoting inclusiveness and eliminating things like ageism and the stigma against older people, because as you mentioned, the projects are benefiting all people in the community. So people may be, sitting around a pollinator garden or enjoying a trail extension or some other type of benefit that was funded through AARP. And while it's intended to support especially older adults, it really is making communities more livable for everybody.
Yeah, and that's the goal. And we do, obviously focus on older adults, but we often say in livable communities, you know, what's good for an 8-year-old is good for an 80-year-old and everybody in between. What's good for a stroller is good for a wheelchair. So, I mean, if you think about things that way, I mean, our goal is to bring tangible improvements, park benches, crosswalks, bike racks, community gardens, like you said, bringing those tangible improvements to the community. Everybody usually benefits from those things. But, you know, we also have some other goals that are about, you know, digital skills training, transit, which can help older adults and others. But the, you know, pedestrian safety, digital connections, housing designs that are good for people with disabilities, good for people, you know, who, if you're, you could have a loved one of any age with a disability who might benefit, right, from housing design that helps with accessibility.
Like, so, look at, you know, just as the DEP and a number of communities have been installing these kind of permeable interlocking kind of, you know, mats out on their beaches so folks can access them. So you got Simsbury doing that with one of your grants, getting people out onto the trails by installing these pathway mats that are fully ADA compliant. But the other thing that may not occur to people is civic engagement. And I look at the town of Sherman, where folks will now be able to better engage in their local government process. Can you talk a little bit about that project?
Yeah, so I think that's really, civic engagement is a perfect example, right, of what benefits all sorts of people. But there, the town of Sherman is putting in an assistive audio system that is going to help in the town meeting spaces. So this upgrade of their audio system will help folks with hearing loss fully participate in town meetings and civic life. Like, why should I not, why should I pay my full boat of taxes? Why should I go to the polls every year and then yet not be able to understand what's happening in a town meeting because I can't hear? So the town of Sherman came up, you know, they're a rural community. They said this is an issue for us. And guess what? Now we're paying for them to upgrade that system. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to participate.
Yeah. We talk a lot about housing and affordability and making sure people can continue to live and thrive in their own homes, in their own neighborhoods. And from Hartford to the town of Monroe, right here in our own neighborhood in northern Fairfield County, you've got projects around housing, including this great partnership between St. Francis Hospital and local agencies in the greater Hartford area. And then in Monroe, a similar kind of initiative, much more confined, it looks like, but residents are going to receive you know, products and guidance to support safer, age-friendly homes. Really important.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, so like you talked about, St. Francis in Hartford, that's an urban setting. They're getting a flagship grant around housing that's, you know, community-informed housing designs that are going to be developed through a partnership with local residents. So they're bringing the community in to have the conversation. In fact, Advocacy the Legacy is another winner of ours based in Hartford. They're actually partnering with St. Francis. So now Advocacy the Legacy and St. Francis both win. But, you know, when St. Francis says we're going to bring the community in, they're already bringing in this group Advocacy to Legacy, which is really about getting kids involved with civic issues.
But they
want to guide the future of age-friendly and intergenerational housing in Hartford. And I mean, that's great. I mean, I applaud the fact that we're looking at designs that will accommodate every generation. And in Monroe, and I'll also bring up Meriden, but Monroe is doing home safety program, right? So residents are going to get products and guidance that help support safer, age-friendly homes. And, you know, we're going to talk about legislative stuff probably a little bit too.
Yep.
But interestingly, when the town of Monroe is doing that, we just passed legislation that is expanding a pilot program statewide that will bring grants to people to help age in place. So Maybe you need a ramp installed, right? And that hasn't completely rolled out yet because it has to be bonding money. So it's got to go through the bonding process. But you think about a town of Monroe getting products and guidance, and then you think the state of Connecticut being able to provide some grants for people of certain income levels to age in place. And what a nice symbiotic kind of thing we've got going on there.
Yeah, for lack of
and
a better...
Meriden,
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, for lack of a better term, you've kind of got a poster child example to be able to show to the governor and legislators who have influence regarding the bonding initiatives, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and until you just said that, I'm like, that's perfect. If I need to go lobby for bonding, maybe I'll bring the town of Monroe with me.
Yes, yes. And Meriden?
And Meriden is doing disaster preparedness sessions for older adults. So, you know, we just talked about the crazy weather that swept through over the 4th of July. I mean, you know, I know we don't think of ourselves like a lot of areas, right? We don't think of ourselves in the same way as we do, you know, for Tornado Alley or, you know, Florida with hurricanes, but we have disaster stuff going on here. We're hurricane prone. And, you know, if Meriden wants to teach folks in bilingual, give them plans and basic emergency supplies and resources. I mean, it's only a $2,500 little micro grant, but it could go a really long way.
Yeah. And perhaps the very first place that my my dad took me as a very little child walking in the woods, the Flanders Nature Center and Land Trust in Woodbury is going to be getting one of these AARP quick turnaround grants.
Yep. This is not the first grant Flanders Nature Center has gotten from us either. Mm-hmm. So they have, they describe it as a heavily used dirt walkway that they're going to improve with by make gravel, lighting and benches and upgrade safety and comfort issues for folks so that they can have more events and programs and more visitors be able to access parts of that land trust.
Yeah. And maybe regular listeners are going to be like, oh, here he goes talking about agriculture again. But these AARP grants are even supporting agriculture at Fairgate Farm down in Norwalk.
Yep. Fairgate Farm is a frequent winner as well. You know, there's times in my life where I think it pays to have a good grant writer on hand.
Mm.
So Fairgate Farm in Norwalk is getting a grant, $9,000. They are going to get this for walkways and work areas are going to be leveled and upgraded across the farm, so that fall risk is reduced and older volunteers at the garden can volunteer more safely.
Mm.
So, you know, while Simsbury is making a space ADA compliant with their pathways, you know, out of trail, Fairgate Farm is like lives on volunteers, right?
Yes.
But they don't need their volunteers falling down because they have uneven and unsafe walkways.
Yeah, and not just that. We have scientific proof now going back more than a decade about how gardening is probably one of the healthiest physical activities that folks can do as they age. So it is also very, very much appropriate. Just a description of a number of the projects across Connecticut that are reflecting a growing demand for practical local solutions that help residents stay connected. And it's all thanks happening this year, 13 of these projects with $107,000 from AARP Connecticut through this community challenge grant program. So, Nora, also, we can't let you go. It seems like it's a dim and distant past based on everything that's happened since the close of the legislative session. But we never really got a chance to catch up to you. And probably some of it has to do with the fact that, you know, when you're good, nobody remembers. And when you're bad, nobody forgets. And this has been this was a pretty good legislative session for AARP. You checked a lot of boxes.
We did, actually. We surprised even ourselves. We had a lot of wins and we killed some bad stuff. So and during a short legislative session, I think I'm going to pat us on the back a little bit, our volunteers and, you know, the legislature in a bipartisan manner. The only tax credit that passed in the legislature this session is a tax credit for family caregivers, so that the, you know, 700,000 plus family caregivers of adults in Connecticut, starting January 1, so that tax year, 2027 tax year, will be able to get a tax credit of up to $2,000 for income eligible family caregivers who incur eligible expenses for helping someone else stay safely at home rather than going to a nursing home or bringing in more home care. So, for instance, let's go back to the conversation about a ramp. You know, let's say we got to get a ramp to keep mom at home, mm-hmm. and mom can't afford the ramp. They're too expensive as it is. But, you know, we don't qualify necessarily for other things, but we paid for mom's ramp. Now I'm going to be able to save that receipt, go to the Department of Aging and Disability Services, get verified that mom has qualified as someone who needs care and that I'm her caregiver. And then I can go and get a tax credit. And a credit is way better than a deduction. A credit basically is, you know, $2,000 off your income that would have otherwise been taxed.
Yes. Also, a couple of bills passed around energy affordability and accountability, which is something we talk about in virtually every conversation we have with somebody from AARP. These bills are going to hopefully begin to address affordability in the energy sector.
So
if there is such a thing
about energy, right? But it's really a lot about consumer protection around solar. And we opposed a bill that would have weakened strong community consumer protections and third party electric supply. It's really just some of the things that keep us that we can control is how consumers are protected in the energy market. And that is where we've had a lot of luck outside of public utilities regulatory authority cases, which we get involved in.
So when you ask yourself, well, what do I get out of an AARP membership? We've barely scratched the surface around just two of the things happening here in Connecticut, never mind across the entire nation. So you could see the kind of good that you could do by supporting the organization. And I didn't want to let you go without you circling back to this food insecurity support that you're providing in Enfield.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was a special grant, right?
You know, I really like their proposal. Loaves and Fishes is a longtime food bank in Enfield. And so I put aside a little bit of Connecticut money, and they didn't make this list because I couldn't tell them until after we were done announcing the other grants. But they're going to get a grant from us also. We're just in the middle of doing the paperwork. Let's hope the paperwork goes through. And just saying, you know what? Maybe National didn't pick you for out of these 13, but I'm going to give you some money because food insecurity is just really plaguing our state and our country, and we want to help. That's basically it. We want to help.
Excellent. Whether it's regarding your health, your money, work, jobs, advocacy, Social Security, Medicare, caregiving, games, even travel, AARP may have solutions and answers for you as they are providing these 13 project grants that will all be in place by the end of this year across Connecticut to help communities and all of the good that's going to come from the advocacy around just a handful of the more than dozen initiatives that AARP helped get across the finish line in the Connecticut legislative session this year. You can get all the information by just web searching AARP Connecticut or going to aarp.org/states/Connecticut to access all this information and more, as well as all the resources available for folks, regardless in some cases of whether you're a member of AARP or not. They are doing good for you in your own state and neighborhood. So, Nora Duncan, once again, always a great conversation. Appreciate you joining us this morning, and best of luck. We'll talk to you again in the fall.
Thank you so much, John.